From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the weekly internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 20 with guest Donald Farmer, recorded Thursday, August 2nd, 2007. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Hi, you're listening to Run As Radio, and I'm your host, Richard Campbell, and with me, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hi there, everybody.
So I'm going to just jump straight into a brief email here, mostly because it teases you.
Lay it on us.
All right. Comment on the email in the remote app show. I am a developer, and in the small shops, I have occasionally been the developer and the IT guy, or the IT guy has asked me for help. I am not saying that developers are smarter than IT guys, although Greg's decision to sell his CBR 600 only helps that argument.
Hey.
Unless you're trading in that CBR for a Ducati, and then it's completely understandable.
Wait a minute. All right. So for the record, I haven't ridden the thing hardly at all in the last year, right? It's so low mileage, I'm going to get good money for it. And,
right.
You know, the reason I'm selling this thing, everybody, is I turned 40 in April. I've realized I had major surgery on my back last year. I go to my blog, greghughes.net, and search for something to find the surgery stuff. But it's, I actually have a prosthetic back. So I have a 3-piece metal joint in my spine.
Ouch.
And as I'm looking at the world, as I live in it today, you know, things happen in your life that cause you to think, you know what? And I'll be honest with you, when I get on that thing, I want to go. Right.
Right. There's no point in having a CBR 600 unless you're going to drive it.
Yeah. And it'll go, let me tell you. but you know what? There's something about going that fast and the potential for being hurt. And, you know, you don't have a lot of control over that. Sometimes there's other vehicles on the road. And
yes,
you know, I've been through enough in the last year and a half, physically that, I've just decided it's a risk I'm not willing to take. As I'm sitting here recording a podcast with you, and wearing a brace on my left arm and wrist and hand that I've been wearing for a little while now because I severely sprained my left arm when I took a little ass over tea kettle dump off of a dirt bike out on a trail a few weeks back. And so, you know, I mean, it's not that I don't ever want to get on a motorcycle again. I'm just sort of picking and choosing the battles.
Deciding where you're going to get injured?
Yeah, well, or at least how fast I'll be moving when I do get injured.
Let me finish this email since it has some technical content too.
Yeah.
Often developers have to have a thorough understanding of the environment they are developing for. For example, when I started developing web applications, I had to learn about IIS, network layers, protocols, database servers, how to monitor my application, etc. Granted, if you are into hardware and networking, there are tons of things to learn. I think that a better argument would be is that it's developers that really want to be good have to generally learn more than supporting network people. I don't buy that.
No, I don't buy it either.
You know, I'm writing a session like this for the Barcelona Tech Ed.
Yeah.
And it's literally about the whole discussion of how network guys and dev guys have to come together to scale ASP.NET in a serious way. And as an IQ test I have in it where I say, if a developer is really up to speed, here's the things he's got to know about the network. And if a network guy's really up to speed, here are the things he's got to know about the software. There's plenty of crossover here.
There's a theme to some emails that we've received and comments that we've received and that we've read and that we've seen. You know, it's sort of the us versus them, developers versus IT kind of thing. And I hesitate even to put it that way, but the fact of the matter is that we're all really, I mean, hopefully we're all working toward one goal. I sort of fall into both camps. I manage and supervise and direct development teams and I'm, you know, but I'm also technical on the IT side. And so I fall square into both of those camps. And, I really and truly believe that, it's really easy and, even more important, it's critical for everyone to really to understand each other, what the big responsibilities are on both sides. If developers understand the IT infrastructure side and some of the, you know, gotchas, and vice versa, then everybody ends up doing a better job.
Absolutely.
We all have customers.
Yeah, and our customers are generally our companies. And, you know, we're removed from the direct revenue generation. We generally aren't doing line work. We're supporting, we're staff work. And if we can't clearly point to how we're supporting those people effectively, we don't deserve to have our jobs. So it's in our best interest to collaborate on this stuff.
I agree. And ultimately, you know, hopefully everybody's, you know, sort of moving toward one goal. And, you know, I know I'm a little soapboxy on this whole thing, Richard, and you've heard me talk about it offline, but,
oh, yes.
But, you know, I'm a real believer that wherever there's an us versus them mentality, there's a bigger problem that needs to be addressed.
I tend to agree. Well, and I admit you're management and I'm a consultant. So both of us, you know, do a lot of work in that area.
And both of us have worked in those areas and have that background that we've brought, you know, with us along the way to, you know, management and consulting.
So Lance ends his email off with a proud owner of a 2002 748 and a 2004 998 Matrix. He's a Ducati snob.
Well, there you go. But, and you know, the Ducatis are, what a sweet bike. You know?
Lovely motorcycle. If you're going to die, die on something pretty in Italian.
If you're going to die, die in the dirt. That's what I have to say. You know?
Okay, let's get to the show. Okay, Greg, let's introduce Don. Donald Farmer has worked at the Microsoft Business Intelligence team for 6 years. He's worked on both the analysis services and integration services product teams. Donald is now the principal program manager for SQL Server Data Mining, working to build a seamless integration of predictive and exploratory analytics with the Microsoft Business Intelligence offering. Mr. Farmer is a popular speaker at international events for both business and technical audiences, with a wide range of interests including data integration, information quality, metadata intelligence, master data management, and predictive analytics. He is the author of a number of books and articles. Prior to joining Microsoft, Donald worked not only in business intelligence, but in the fields as varied as medieval archaeology and fish farming.
Uh-huh. That's pretty cool.
It sounds quite varied when you read it out, doesn't it?
It really does. And there's, you still got just a hint of the accent there. You're from Scotland originally?
Yes, I am originally, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I'm still from Scotland.
You're from Scotland permanently. That's the you don't get a chance to change that, do you?
That's right.
Although you're in Redmond these days.
I'm in Redmond, yeah.
But that, you know, medieval archaeology and fish farming makes sense in the context of Scotland because there's lots of fish farming and, heck, there's a lot of medieval archaeology around there.
That's for sure, yeah.
But how do you get from medieval archaeology and fish farming, which I assume it's not medieval fish farming, it's like modern fish farming?
Modern fish farming.
But regardless, how do you get from there to data mining, integration, and analysis services?
Well, yeah, it's actually not quite so inconsistent as you would think. My passions have always been around data analysis, and whenever I was working on archaeology, for example, I was building databases of archaeological records and of historical records and using database search techniques to actually try and solve some of those problems.
Gotcha.
So that was really interesting, and when I was working in fish farming, I was working on the IT side of that using, again, predictive technologies to try and work out how much food to give fish so that they weren't getting overfed or underfed, calculating growth rates, harvest rates, all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of IT involved. So there is this kind of consistent thread of data analysis running through it all.
Yeah, our nonlinear paths do tend to have a thread that ties them all together.
Yeah, exactly. And you only kind of see that in retrospect.
When you're working on some really cool stuff, I mean, I know that my experience with, you know, the Microsoft technologies and integration services and analysis services and reporting services all part of the SQL Server global bigger offering. So really some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I think the package that you get with SQL Server is remarkably complete.
And an interesting point on this, which is that everybody who owns a copy of SQL Server owns a copy of analysis services, which includes data mining, but they probably don't know it.
Well, that's right. I mean, I quite often get involved in executive briefings where, you know, they kind of ask us, well, why are you telling us about data mining? And I say, well, because you own it. Got it already. And they just don't understand that. This was the same with integration services when I was on that team as well. People didn't realize that they had, you know, a great data integration tool
and in
that they already paid for.
In fact, a lot of the people who are probably listening to us right now don't even know what integration services is, and or that they have it. Maybe you could explain what are these extra packages that come along with SQL Server, and what's their real areas of focus?
Sure. Yeah. The extra packages are really part of what we call the BI stack, the business intelligence stack. And we always used to describe business intelligence as, we literally have the T-shirt that says this. Business intelligence is integrate, analyze, report. Bring your data from your enterprise together into one single place for analysis. So integrate it together, analyze it there. And analyze includes, of course, adding kind of business rules to it, adding richness to it, aggregating it to find patterns, mining it to find models of behavior in there, and then reporting over the results of that analysis. And so because we viewed business intelligence as being integrate, analyze, report, we have three applications, integration services, analysis services, and reporting services that realize that functionality. And they all ship with SQL Server in the box. They're all kind of independent in the sense that you can install any one of these applications, and you can install these applications without requiring the relational engine. So we have, for instance, some customers who buy SQL Server just to get integration services, and that's all they install. We have other customers who buy it just to get reporting or analysis. As you say, you know, very often people who think in the relational database terms, they install only the relational database, and they don't realize that they've got all this stuff here.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear the idea that there'd be customers that would buy SQL Server, or that buy that package, for anything other than OLTP. That seems to be the norm. And then they're surprised that there's more. But there's more. I mean, OLTP is always the starting point. You've got to get the data from somewhere. Then to do analytics on it is to really realize the potential of it. Maybe we need to work our way through the stack. I'm presuming that most of my listeners have a SQL Server database running there, may not be aware they had these other things. So what are the bits that they use that get them to data mining?
So the bits that you need, the moving pieces, are to install SQL Server analysis services. And when you've installed analysis services, data mining comes with that. There's nothing extra that you need to install
right
to get data mining. And when you install analysis services, you're also best to install the development tools. Now, I know a lot of people who install the relational database typically may not install the development environment because they think of that as being kind of client side, and they just install the administrative tools.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a developer. I don't need developer tools.
Exactly, yeah. But if you install the developer tools, you get the kind of BI environment as well. And business intelligence development is now hosted in a version of Visual Studio, which is just like, you know, ordinary Visual Studio, except it's kind of geared. It's particularly focused on the BI developer. And for data mining, once you've installed this, the process is actually pretty straightforward. You find source data, you point towards source data, and the wizard walks you through that process. And then you develop the data mining models. Now, we have ways of developing the data mining models within the BI environment, but we've also introduced other tools which are based in Office that allow you to develop data mining models as well.
Wow.
They're kind of cool as well.
I could potentially pull information from multiple different data sources, right?
And then, I mean, it's very common in data mining to actually require data from several different operational systems. It's very unusual that all your data will reside in one system.
So, if I'm using integration services to pull the data, is that right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the data integration tool of choice for SQL Server. And so, typically, I mean, obviously, our preferred scenario is that you use integration services, populate a SQL Server staging area, and from there, mine on the data in that staging area. But there are some other possibilities. We actually have data mining integrated with integration services, and that's kind of pretty unusual.
So you could be pulling data directly from some other database into analysis services through integration services.
That's right, yeah. Yes, you can absolutely do that. And analysis services have kind of always had that heterogeneous capability.
Right.
But what really lights up with integration services and data mining is a kind of interesting scenario where you can mine on the data while you're integrating it. Let me explain what I mean by that.
Yeah.
If I was doing traditional data mining, I would have a database which had typically cleaned and consolidated data in it. You kind of want your data to be clean in order to do data mining.
Sure.
And looking at that database, I would point my data mining system at that database and ask it to analyze the patterns and kind of models that it would discover in that data. Now, that's fine, but you have to have your data in a database.
Right.
Now, imagine a situation where I have data coming from kind of multiple different sources, and they may have multiple different latencies and multiple different permissions to access them and so on, and it can take time to land that data in one place. And I've got to wait until it's all there before I start mining it. There's another scenario that we've enabled where you can actually data mine on the data as it's passing through integration services. So, for example, as a row is passing, you can make a prediction based on that row. So a row comes along, let's say you've got a mining model and you want to predict our standard scenario, who's going to be a gold or a silver credit card potential customer. Traditionally, I would need to wait until the data was in a database and mine that database for the information. But now, as customer records are flowing through integration services, I can be mining on them one row at a time, and having done that, I can make the prediction of gold or silver card holder before the data has actually reached the analytic database at the end.
So this is getting into more real-time analytics, that I don't have to wait for my daily load to start looking at this data.
Yeah, that's true. And it becomes kind of very, very useful for scenarios where data is changing very rapidly or where you want to make a fairly quick decision on the data.
The term data mining seems to be fairly loose these days. Marketing people have taken it in a lot of different directions. Anytime I look at data and drill into it in any way, somebody could call that mining. Maybe we need to define the difference in data mining and an OLAP cube, for example.
Yeah, I mean, people have actually used that kind of phrase, data mining, to mean something as straightforward as OLAP at one point. I guess you can think of it as the casual use of the term data mining. You'll see in the front page of the New York Times things like, companies accused of data mining or FBI data mining.
Yeah, so like, really like mining of, data is bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mining data is bad. And it sounds threatening and invasive. But really what they mean by data mining there is large-scale database search.
Right.
We have a ton of records in our database and we're going to go on a fishing expedition and find out, anything we can see in those records. And that's one use of the phrase data mining. But when we talk about SQL Server data mining, we're talking about a slightly more specific form of it, which is often called machine learning or knowledge discovery in databases. And what that really means is taking existing data, analyzing it to find patterns within that data and relationships within that data. And from those patterns and relationships, create a model which represents how that data is related. And then you can use that model with new data that has never been seen before and predict the outcome. So, for example, I have some records of customers. And as part of that piece of information I have about customers, I know whether they own their own homes or not. So I can analyze all the patterns of ages and genders and incomes and zip codes and all those things and say, these are all the factors which influence whether somebody is a homeowner or not. Now I can take new data that I've never seen before and predict on the basis of those existing relationships whether the new data, the new customers, would be homeowners or not. And I can give scores of the probability of that being correct. And so we think of that as being data mining within SQL Server.
So take information that's available and from that glean knowledge and then be able to make decisions based on that.
And the predictive nature of it, very often, especially in the field of business, but in the field of business intelligence, people often call this predictive analytics for that reason. And that kind of distinguishes it from the database search aspects of data mining.
Well, it strikes me that database search tends to be when you know what you're looking for. And data mining is really, I don't know what I'm looking for. Go find me a relationship.
I don't really have a hypothesis about what's in there. Go create a hypothesis for me.
Right.
So we find that a kind of useful distinction to make between that and database search, yeah.
Kind of finding the answer to that classic, decade or more old phrase, if only I knew what I actually know, right?
That's right, yeah.
I could do so much more.
Absolutely, yeah. If only you could kind of deepen your understanding. And we talk about it as when you know what you're looking for, or you know roughly what you're looking for, then what you're really doing is exploring.
Right.
I'm exploring my data. But what we offer is discovery of things. When you're looking for an island, you know, when Captain Cook's out there sailing around, he discovers somewhere and then he explores it. So you have to discover things first. And data mining is about that discovery operation.
Do companies and organizations, I mean, it seems to me they must quite often find relationships between information, which maybe they never looked at in concert or at the same time together, and really glean some real valuable business intelligence, hence the term, out of that, something that they could really use.
I think that kind of value is, I have to say, it varies from company to company.
Sure.
There are companies who actually have their whole business predicated on the ability to find this value. A company like Amazon, you know, its recommendation engine is absolutely critical to its success, being able to recommend books to people. The same is true of kind of online music sharing sites or online music sites and companies like Netflix and so on. It's absolutely essential to them to be able to make those offers as part of their business model. For other companies, the value of predictive analytics can be perhaps slightly more obscure. And one of the things we've been working on, and we're working on just now, is building out, you know, much clearer stories of what the value is. And very often when I'm talking to IT pros, they say, well, this is all very well for the analysts in the company, but it doesn't really affect me as an IT pro. And one of the things we've been kind of saying to people in that field is, well, actually, there are things that IT pros can do with predictive analytics. And we're going to be building out over the next year. But hopefully by the end of this year, we will have some seminars available and some kind of training materials specifically for IT pros and showing them how they can use data mining to improve their work, not just to improve their business, but actually to improve their work as IT pros.
I could see the ability to take in perfmon stats and event logs and allow the data mining to go to work to find relationships there and discover some kind of metric that would actually tell you when you're going to need more drive space or when likely failures are.
That's absolutely the scenarios we're thinking of. You know, now in SQL Server, you have some really rich information on things like dynamic management views.
Oh, right.
And in analysis services, we're going to have kind of the equivalent in it for the analysis server. And so being able to do data mining over dynamic management views and saying, you know, if I add a user, this is the amount of disk space I might need to allow, this amount of temporary space I might need to allow. This is the kind of queries that people are asking. And look, here are some sessions which are real outliers, which are actually, you know, consuming very large amounts of memory or very large amounts of CPU compared to all the other sessions I've got. That starts to get really interesting. And maybe even for security, you might start to look for, you know, scenarios where you've got very small sessions which are consuming small amounts of memory but are happening at unusual times of night or something like that. You know, there's a number of scenarios where you could point data mining at dynamic management views or at logs and say, you know, go find interesting things in here, go find outliers in this in the general patterns of this data, or go and find kind of categories of data and let me see what the broad categories of usage are.
So now you got my brain running. I'm thinking scenarios here. One of the ones that came to mind, you said like the large session is, I could discover through this that I have a handful of administrators that exert far more load on my servers than the regular user does. And suddenly it's worth my while to start specking out an isolated system for them to cut down on their impact.
I think we're going to find quite a lot of these scenarios. We're actually at early days in this research. And I know when I'm speaking to people about it, I can literally see the wheels kind of starting to move and they get excited about it. I think we're going to have, by the end of this year, we're going to have some really great samples for people of data mining over dynamic management views. And in fact, you know, the dynamic management views are there already. If you've got SQL Server, you've got data mining. People can be out there doing some of those research themselves if they like. But, you know, we'll certainly be publishing some.
For IT pros, you know, I think a lot of the time, the data that I have to work with, whether it's just from a straight IT standpoint or a security monitoring and analysis standpoint, isn't in databases. So what are the mechanisms and the different ways to be able to leverage data that's in things like flat files, like a log file, web server files, for example, or other common types of data sources other than a database?
Flat files are just incredibly common. They're just still probably the industry's standard format for exchanging information. I think the the key thing here is to use integration services. And I say that not just because I used to work in the integration services team, but because that's the that really is the critical technology for data integration within SQL Server. Data mining and integration services do work very well together. As I've said, you know, you can actually integrate them very closely. But there's no doubt that, you know, integrating your data into a database and then mining on that is probably still the most successful point of view when it comes to being able to revisit the data and retrain the data. I know it's interesting to be able to do data mining in real time, but sometimes what you might want to do is say, okay, let's go back and see if I can find any other set of patterns or tweak these parameters and see if something else comes out. So my classic scenario is if you've got data in flat files, if you've got data in web logs, use integration services to get that into a staging area and then mine over the staging area. And then having created the models from that, you may well take those models and put them into production on a scheduled or near real-time basis, so that they're scoring new records as they arrive in a near real-time basis. That would be fine. But I think your initial model building will often be built, you know, using integration services into a staging area.
I can think of one tool that I use on a regular basis that actually outputs flat files. One of the options is to output structured data XML in an XML format with a defined schema for the application. Is that something the integration service would be able to take advantage of in terms of actually using that XML data to actually structure the database table, or how would that work?
Yeah, it should be able to do that. I mean, you should be able to read in XML using integration services. If the XML is hierarchical, then typically what we'll do is create one row set for each hierarchy. So if you've got three nested hierarchies, then we'd create three output row sets, which could then be joined, you know, further downstream in order to create a kind of flattened table or hierarchical tables. There's a couple of things you have to watch in integration services when it comes to XML. XML files can only have one namespace. So if there's more than one namespace in your XML file, you're going to have to collapse it to a single namespace, probably using XSLT. But then integration services includes tasks for applying XSLT and doing XSL differencing and so on. So that's certainly possible. I think the other thing to watch with XML, actually it's not to watch with XML, it's actually one of the benefits of the integration services XML sources, is that the XML can be accessed over HTTP as well as over as well as from file. So if those XML files are hosted somewhere on a website or on a web server, you can just go out over the net and grab them directly into integration services flow.
That's cool.
Maybe we got to get into describing exactly what it takes to build a model, because that seems to be the cusp of this whole thing. I've got my different data sources. Perhaps I'm staging in SQL Server, so I'm pulling those flat files in with integration services, so everything's in one place. Now I need to construct a model. That sounds like the magic here.
Yes, I think it probably is. And building mining models is often seen as a kind of dark art that is, you know, the provenance of specialized statisticians or data miners. But really, it needn't be that difficult. The moving parts of a model are, first of all, a mining structure. Mining structure has some metadata describing where the data is coming from. So it'll say, okay, I'm using columns from this table in this database. In addition to that, when you actually train the mining model or train the mining structure, we'll extract the data from the source system and cache it in the mining structure. Now, the reason we do that is because, as I say, very often you want to train and retrain models until you find the right one. If you had to round trip to the source database every time to do that, that would become a pain. Now, if you're actually dealing with, say, millions or terabytes of data, you know, millions or rows of terabytes of data,
right,
you may find that, of course, caching all that, this is impractical. But in those scenarios, people typically actually use samples of the data. It's very unusual, for example, to say that, you know, you need to build a model over all the records in 1 terabyte of data. A statistically valid sample, a random sampling of that, which integration services enables you to take, would be, you know, more than adequate for building the model. So once you've got a mining structure, the next thing that you build is the model itself. And building a model consists of saying, okay, these are the columns I'm interested in modeling. Typically, you'll say, here is a column that I want to be able to predict in the future. And that column might be gold card owner or homeowner or some other value that you want to predict. So you'd set that column in what we call the predictable column, and then you'd choose your inputs. And we have tools which help you to choose the inputs. We have little kind of guides in the wizard that would say suggest inputs, and they would give you some suggestions. But inputs would be things like, you know, the if I wanted to predict who's a homeowner, I might have an input their income, their marital status, their zip code, that sort of thing.
Right. Sort of demographic data about them.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
So I've got inputs and I've got a predictable column. And then what my next step is to select an algorithm. Now, I have to say that in traditional data mining and in the versions of SQL Server data mining that ship out of the box, choosing an algorithm can be tricky because essentially you're just provided with that choice. Take an algorithm.
And there's quite a few of them, as I recall.
There's 9 algorithms in total, yeah. So, you know, unless you know the differences between those 9 algorithms, that can be a challenge. There's 2 approaches to that challenge. There's 3 approaches to the challenge. One approach is to go away and learn about all the algorithms.
Right.
And what they're good for, what the differences are. Faced with, you know, a choice on the first page of a wizard, I don't think many people kind of go into suspend mode and go to books online
right.
and read up on all the algorithms. I think the other approach is a brute force approach, which is great for experimenters and, you know, a lot of IT pros I know are experimenters by nature, which is to build several models using different algorithms and then validate them using our validation tools like, you know, accuracy charts and so on.
Just try them all and see which one has the most accurate results.
Yeah, just try them and see which one's going to be best. Because even when you read in the books about, you know, which models are good for which scenarios, you'll find that some scenarios can be met by 3 or 4 different models. And so really it's a question of which model is going to be best under the circumstances.
Right.
And you might want to try a few. There's another approach we can take, which is to use the Office add-ins. These are the SQL Server data mining add-ins for Office, which are free downloads. If you have Office 2007, if you have SQL Server, you can go on to SQLServerDataMining.com, which is our kind of portal site. And from SQLServerDataMining.com, you can link to the add-ins and get down this installer, which will install Excel add-ins. And these allow you to perform tasks in Excel that do data mining, allow you to learn about data mining, allow you to build models in a very task-oriented way.
So then Excel is not just a client for data mining, but can also help you build the models.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It can be a client for querying, but it can also create the models for you. And one of the analysis tools is so simple. It's called the table analysis tools. And it just has buttons that say detect categories, discover outliers, discover exceptions. And if I wanted to do that, if I wanted to find categories in my data, I'd just click detect categories. And it would go and find categories in the data and return the analysis for me in Excel. There's slightly more advanced tools, which are still task-oriented, but walk me through the process of building the model and then with more precision. And, you know, those tools are just a great way of learning about data mining because they help you to understand what different models are like, what it feels like to build different kind of models, what the results are like. It gives you really very simple task-oriented user interface, which gives you very nicely formatted, easy-to-understand results. And those results are targeted to be, as we say, actionable results that you can actually, you know, take actions on. And that's very important.
And you bring up a salient point here, which is that discovery is only the first step. Now that you've found a relationship, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really critical. And the actionability of data mining has been one of the other things, apart from the traditional kind of complexity of building it that we've tried to address. The actionability has also been important. Data mining has traditionally been very good at giving results that were statistically valid but not particularly useful.
I've met whole departments like that.
Well, that's absolutely true, yeah. I mean, I've seen a data mining model, for example, very nice. It included all the input attributes correctly modeled and had some well-chosen algorithms. And the results that came out were if you sell all your products at less than cost, then you will sell more of them.
Right.
And that's a great analysis, but it is completely unactionable because you'd be out of business within a few weeks.
Yeah, they left a couple of factors out there.
They left a couple of factors out, but, you know, statistically valid model. So you have to think a lot about the actionability of the information. Am I going to be able to take an action on this? And that's part of the process of data mining, where you really try and match the business case and the technical case together. That's actually one of the reasons why we've been doing some of the work to make the add-ins, to make data mining available in specific IT pro scenarios.
Well, and what's exciting to me is I already own SQL Server 2005. I already own Office 2007. I'm ready to go. I need to download this pack from SQLServerDataMining.com, and I'm off to the races. I have everything I need. There's no reason not to experiment, at least, with this.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's very, very easy to get started. And I think that's one of the great things about it, is it gets people started with data mining who previously, frankly, haven't had the time to learn all the statistics and all the possibilities of data mining.
Well, the surprise to me is that I've known this industry as an industry of white lab coat types. It's, you need analysts, you need $500,000, a couple of years of work trying to pull data together and plan out the models, lots of whiteboard time. Where'd all that go? What have you done?
We've done the Microsoft thing, which is to make it, you know, almost trivially easy for people to do it. You know, I remember when I first started working in business intelligence, when OLAP was in its infancy, and people said, oh, OLAP, you know, online analytic processing, that's a complex subject. That requires a PhD.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about multidimensional cubes. Now, analyzing a multidimensional cube sounded like something that only Dr. Spock could do.
Yes.
And in fact, nowadays, it's very common for us to speak to business users who quite openly boast of, you know, having pivot tables with 20 dimensions. I think, well, that, you know, when I first started in this industry, people thought that that was almost impossible and was always going to be the domain of the white-coated PhD.
Right.
And in fact, we've made that a desktop application for many users. And we're doing the same with data mining.
Another one of the newer Microsoft things that you all have done in the latest implementations of all these services is making them available. The XMLA, the XML for analysis, and the web services that are available over HTTP. It's like a SOAP-based web service.
That's true. I mean, and exposing data mining over XML for analysis is great because people can actually find out a lot about what models exist. And the query tools that we have for data mining are, well, the query languages that we have, the APIs.
Yeah.
We've deliberately set out to make these APIs from day one as familiar as possible. So, for example, creating a mining model looks very like creating a table. Training a mining model, in other words, giving it data to look at so it can find patterns, is an insert into statement. Insert data into the mining model. And what will come out at the end is training. And in order to query a mining model, it's a select statement. It's actually a join. It's a join between the new data that the model hasn't seen and the relationships it's already discovered. And because those relationships and because the model is exposed as columns and the new data that you're bringing to the model has got columns, it's just a join between the new data and the models and the columns in the model. And the result is a prediction.
And of course, having the standards-based web services APIs opens up the ability to communicate and integrate with other maybe non-Microsoft products as well.
Oh yeah, we support a lot of that integration. There's a kind of integration standard for data mining called PMML, a markup language for predictions, predictive model markup language. And we fully support that, and we actually have pretty good support for it. But XMLA in particular allows people to exchange a lot of this information effectively as a web service, so you can do it in real time or as a service.
I see this as a nice progression of not only the marketplace in general that we've got at Simplify, but you've also built a nice line of products here that I could start with Excel, experimenting to find those opportunities, and then through the querying language, be able to hand it over to developers to integrate into existing applications.
That's true. And when you're working in Excel, if you're working in the data mining tab or you're working in the table analytic tab, the simplified tab, you can just flip to the data mining tab, press the trace button, and we'll actually show you all the code that has been sent to the server, all the code to create the models, all the code to train the models, and all the code to query the models that you've been using. So it's actually really easy to kind of capture a session or to capture a model. And in fact, I personally, when I joined the team here, I used that capability to learn how to build models programmatically and query them.
Right. Of course, that makes sense. Just as like a query by example tool.
It is almost like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here we are, half an hour in. Time has flown by. I'm just getting a taste of what the possibilities are for data mining now.
Well, I'm glad. I hope it's a good taste.
Yeah, it's one of those things where now you want to run away and experiment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Definitely one of those mind-expanding thought processes.
It is, and great fun, too.
All right. Donald, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate your thoughts around data mining. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun in the future.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to doing more of this.
Take care.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.